get a solution. Oh, hello. There we go. I can do this. I can. You know, that's sort of one end of the spectrum of confidence, isn't it? The I can bunch. Are you one of them when you're faced with a challenge? Or are you someone who is more down the I can't end of the spectrum? Big challenge comes, big difficulty arrives in your life, and you think, oh, there's no way I can manage with this. I can't cope if this goes on much longer. I can't deal with all of this. I can't face anymore. I can't carry on if it's going to be like this. What's the point? Where are you on that sort of line? Are you up the I can end, the confident end, or are you down the I can't end, the less confident, the struggling end? We meet Jesus in Matthew 17, and Jesus with two characters, this dad and the disciples, who sort of counting as a bunch. We've got an I can character, a bunch of people who think they can take on any challenge that comes their way. And we've got an I can't character, someone who knows that this is completely beyond them and can't do it themselves. And we've got a lesson that both of them learn from this encounter with Jesus. That's kind of what Matthew's Gospel is, I think. We've just 7 years, we've been through the whole of Matthew's Gospel at St. Columba's, and I think it's this kind of lessons for disciples, lessons for how to follow Jesus. Matthew keeps taking sort of stuff that Mark's written and then kind of rewrites it a bit to make it a lesson for followers of Jesus. And that's what he's doing in this passage here. So two lessons for us. So the first lesson is for the dad who naturally hits the challenge and feels like I can't. There is nothing in the world that will more make you feel helpless than being a parent, in my experience. And here is a guy who rushes up to Jesus, kneels before him, "Have mercy on my son, Lord," he says. So you may well be able to know how he feels, imagine how he feels if you've got children. One of ours at the moment, our 13-year-old, has severe anxiety, got bullied at school, and so can't face going to school, pretty much can't face leaving the house, doesn't see anybody his age in a week, leaves the house once a week to have an ice cream with our family's worker and a chat with her, and is just stuck. It's just hitting the self-destruct button in life. Life is too much, and just severe social anxiety has kicked in with him. Stays in his room, has a weird thing about hearing that any like eating noises, so he can't eat with us, any kind of sniffing or whatever, so just hides away, and there's nothing we can do. It's just swiped our family sideways. And as a parent, you just feel helpless in the face of that sort of stuff. And that's nothing compared to the dad in this passage, is it? "Lord, have mercy on my son," verse 15. "He has seizures," so something similar to epilepsy, I guess. "He's suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire or into the water." You know, he can't take his eye off his son at any time in case he has a seizure and hurts himself. Burns, sores, drowning. Can you imagine his situation? And there is nothing he can do. Nothing he can do in the face of this condition. And Jesus rebukes a demon. So obviously there's some sort of evil spiritual force behind it as well. It's not just kind of normal physical epilepsy, is it? And he's in that, "I can't. You know, I can't do anything about this. Lord, have mercy on my son." And Jesus says, first he takes a bit of a sideswipe, doesn't he? He brought his son to the disciples. "Unbelieving, perverse generation," Jesus replied. "How long shall I put up with you? How long shall I stay with you? Bring the boy here to me." And Jesus rebukes the demon, it came out of the boy and he's healed from that moment. One rebuke and this boy is freed and he's healed. Just one word of Jesus and it's gone. And the dad has grasped an amazing lesson. He's gone from thinking, I can't, to thinking, I can't, but Jesus can. And that's the lesson that he learns here, yeah? I can't, but Jesus can. And you see that in his attitudes. He calls Jesus Lord. You know, he's the one with power, the one who can do this stuff. He says, have mercy. You know, I may not deserve it. I'm just in need. Lord, you can make a difference. In Mark's version of this, Jesus kind of says, you know, don't you believe? And he says to Jesus, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. You know, yeah, I'm full of doubts. I can't even believe by myself, but Jesus, you can give me the faith I need. I can't, Jesus can. And it is so important, isn't it? He doesn't stop at I can't. Because if you're down that less confident end of the spectrum when you hit a challenge, you just say, oh, I can't deal with this. Well, then, you know, you're going to get nowhere. You're going to give up, you're going to hide away, you're going to spend the day in bed, you're going to put off whatever you've got to do until tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow. You'll make excuses, you'll blame other people, you'll do anything other than doing what your responsibility is in the face of this challenge. But this guy doesn't stop at I can't. He learns, I can't, but Jesus can. That is faith. That is discipleship. And he learned, when the disciples failed, as disciples and church leaders so often do, not to give up on Jesus in that moment. Verse 16, he says, I brought him to your disciples. Verse 17, Jesus says, bring the boy to me. You know, if you've hung around Christians long enough, you'll have been let down by them. Plenty of churches, plenty of Christian leaders who burn the people who come to them. But he goes, I can't, maybe that church leader can't, but Jesus can, and he comes to Jesus, and that is faith, that is discipleship. That's the lesson for the dad who could have just stopped at I can't. But then there's a lesson for the disciples, and the disciples have gone into this very much with the I can attitude. Remember, he originally brought him to the disciples, but they can heal him, and they're really puzzled by this. So verse 19, the disciples come to Jesus in private and ask, why couldn't we drive it out? And it's a fair enough question, because back in chapter 10, verse 1, Jesus gave them authority to do this. He gave them authority to heal and to drive out demons. And they've been able to do this in the past. At the end of chapter 10, so he sends them all out, and they go round and they preach the kingdom and they heal and they drive out demons, and they can do this. And they've hit this poor lad, and they can't. And they're really weirded out by it. You know, have we used the wrong technique, Jesus? Have you kind of taught us demons 101, but this is a kind of next level that we've got to do? Is it the boy's fault or his dad? Were they the ones? Did they not believe enough? Or was there some sin in their life that wasn't meant they couldn't get free? Jesus, why couldn't we drive it out? And Jesus says, because you have so little faith. Verse 20. And then he says, but if you have tiny faith, as small as a mustard seed, well, that's fine, you can do anything. That's weird, isn't it? So you can't drive this out because your faith is too small. But if you have tiny faith, you can move mountains and do anything that you ask. That is weird, isn't it? What's going on? I think little faith, it's not about the size of the faith. Little faith is kind of, oh, I hope I can manage. I hope I can do this. I hope I can overcome this challenge. You know, I've done it before, so I hope I can do it again. You know, it's a bit sort of belief in yourself, but, you know, maybe not quite there. That seems to be the little faith, doesn't it? A big view of self. You know, I can do this. I've done it before. I can do it again. A big view of self, but a little view of Jesus. Don't particularly need Jesus to help me in this moment. This isn't beyond me. But mustard seed faith is I can't and Jesus can. You know, little faith is I can. Maybe with a tiny bit of Jesus' help on the side. Mustard seed faith is, no, I can't at all, but Jesus can. I will pray that Jesus can. It's a little view of self and a big view of Jesus, isn't it? I can't, Jesus can. And apparently if we can do that, we can say to a mountain, move from here to there. I don't think it's being literal about that. I would love it if it was. I took my older boy was meant to go on cadet camp in half term, and cadet camp got cancelled right at the last minute. So I said to him, I'll take you out camping. We'll go find a hill and we'll go camp on a hill. And all the weather in that last week of May, the good weather was over in Wales. So we drove 4 hours over to Wales, climbed up a hill, camped on it, climbed some more hills, went back to the car and drove 4 hours back here. It'd be brilliant, wouldn't it, if I could pray and move Snowdonia to like North Lincolnshire. I mean, what's the point of North Lincolnshire, that other side of the river? It would be brilliant if I could have Trafan and my other favourite mountains just sitting there for me. I don't think Jesus means that. It's just a kind of proverbial, hyperbolic phrase, isn't it? There is no limits if your trust is in Jesus, because there's nothing Jesus can't do, and therefore nothing will be impossible for you. You know, when your faith is in someone else and not in yourself, it's their ability that matters, not the size of your faith, right? If you get on an aeroplane with full confidence in your pilot, and it's, you know, a fully looked after, well-engineered plane and a decent pilot who's not drunk and not going to fall asleep, you will get there. And if you get on the same plane with the tiniest faith in the pilot, absolutely terrified, having to be dragged on there by your partner, you'll still get to the destination with exactly the same reliability, yeah? It's not about the size of your faith. It's about the skill of the pilot and the engineering of the plane. The object of your faith matters. I can't, Jesus can. Nothing will be impossible for me. And it's all in the context of serving Jesus and seeing his kingdom advance, isn't it? Seeing people freed from the powers of evil and coming into Jesus' kingdom and knowing him. But there's a danger, isn't there, of I can manage. I've got this. Whatever challenge comes my way, I've done it. I've done stuff before that's a bit like this. So Ash mentioned Johnny Guy, who's now just one year into his curacy, just been taking his first funerals. And, you know, take your funeral. It's one of those moments where you think, crikey, I should not be doing this job. How on earth am I able to go in and say something worthwhile to grieving people and sum up this person's life and everything? It's one of those moments that feels really beyond you when you first do it. I've done them for 7 years now, and, you know, funerals, I've done that. You know, I know how to do a funeral. I can go into it and barely pray at all, because, you know, you just read words out of a book pretty much for most of it. The I can attitude is dangerous, isn't it? I can sail through that job interview. I can bring up kids. I can sort my mental health out. I can preach a sermon. I can share my faith. I can build a church. I can do this new bit of ministry that it's so dangerous, isn't it? I've done it before. I can do it again. I take on other challenges in life. I can take on this one. But faith discipleship says, I can't, Jesus can. When we work, we work. When we pray, God works. And there's just no match, is there? There's no comparison. We all want God to work in our lives rather than ourselves, don't we? If you're anything like me, you won't lack effort in serving Jesus and in serving the church. We probably lack power. But if our faith is as small as a mustard seed and it's placed in Jesus, if we've grasped, I can't, Jesus can, then Jesus says, nothing will be impossible for you. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for this wonderful news that you are a Lord. You are a Lord who has mercy. You're the Lord who has conquered even Satan, has trampled him under your feet, is able to free people from the power of sin and the powers of evil, to bring them into your kingdom, healed and whole and forgiven. Thank you for your work in our lives, and thank you that we get to join in that work, and we pray that you would help us not to think that we can do it on our own and in our own strength and based on our own skills and experience. And help us not to think that we can't do it at all and stop at I can't. Lord Jesus, in all the challenges that we face, I don't know these people, but I know that we will all face challenges at the moment or in this coming year. Lord, in these challenges, help us to remember, I can't, but you can. Help us to pray. Help us to have our confidence in you. Help us to walk forward serving you, knowing that nothing is impossible for those who trust you. We pray this in your name, and that we might see your glory spread in Hull. Amen.